Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting WebSphere Business Monitor. Today's presenter is Benjamin Bertel. Benjamin has been working in Level 2 support for 4 years, gaining experience with WebSphere Business Monitor troubleshooting for 3 years. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ben.
Okay, good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening in from. My name is Benjamin, and I've been working, as Joseph said, in Monitor Level 2 support for 3 years now, and I've gained quite some experience in troubleshooting the various business monitor issues. And today we'll focus basically mainly on event processing issues. So if you have a look at the agenda on slide 2, you will see that the main topic is about missing instances and missing metrics, because that's one of the most common issues I've encountered in the last years. Another issue I would like to go into at the end of the session is about recurring wait time triggers, because that's an issue I've also seen quite a lot. So let's start with slide number 3. Basically, if you're missing instances in your dashboard, or if you're missing metrics from your instances, this can have a lot of different causes. And I often receive PMRs where customers say, well, I'm missing some instances. I've started a process, but I'm not seeing a monitor instance for that. Or I am quite far in my process, and I'm not seeing the metrics I'm supposed to see. So basically, all of this has in common that monitor has not processed the events correctly. So this could be either because monitor has not received the events, or the events were received in the wrong order. Another point might be that the instance is already stopped, so it cannot be updated at all. So let's move to slide number 4. Monitor, like I said, basically relies on the events to create and to update instances. So basically, one of the first causes, if you're not seeing instances or not seeing metrics being updated, is that the event was not received at all. And events can get stuck at different places. And what those different places are is quite complex, and understanding the complete event flow, of course, is very important, because if you want to troubleshoot this issue, you will need to understand where the events are going through and where they might get stopped. So I want to give you a quick overview of this on slide number 5. So on the left-hand side, we're starting with the event emitter. So you can have like a process in WPS or in BPM, or you can have events emitted from MQ via the message broker. And basically, what all of this has in common is that the events will first go through the CEI. It's the common event infrastructure. So the CEI is part of the WAS and, for example, resides on the WPS side. And if you're deploying a monitor model, the monitor model will update the common event infrastructure to contain an event group for this monitor model. So this event group basically defines where the events are getting routed. So in this example, I've given you the basic name of that group. That's WBM underscore. Then you have the model name and the model version underscore group. This group basically contains an event selector string and contains some instructions on how to route the events. And now we basically have two possibilities where those events can go. They can either be queue-based, and then they go to a queue destination, which is called WBM underscore, and then again the monitor model and version string, underscore queue underscore destination. Or if you're using the table-based event delivery, it will go to the incoming events table in the monitor database. So table-based was before version 7.5 called queue bypass, because you would bypass the queue. It's a lot more performant, and is really the recommended way to deliver events to the monitor model. Either way, the monitor model will then pick up the event from the queue or from the incoming events table and process it. If any issues occur, like we'll see in the next slide, the events might then be put on the failed event queue or on the unrecoverable event queue. So that's basically not really a queue, but it's a database table. So it might be the EQ underscore failed underscore event underscore T for the failed events, or it's the table DQ underscore dead underscore event underscore T, which is basically reserved for the unrecoverable events. That's quite important to know if you're dealing with such errors and you want to pick up the raw event from the database. In addition to that, I've also depicted another event group in the CEI which can be available, and that's the Monitor Event Archiving group. This group is activated from the administrative console where you have Monitor installed, and is basically generated when you activate the event recording function. If you do that, any event that is reaching CEI will also be put on the recorded events table in the monitor database. So that's a very useful function, and we'll get to that on one of the next slides. So we'll move to slide number 6 now. And what are you doing if you basically have the problem now that events are not received? Now, you know, you understand the event flow, but still, how do you deal with that situation? So the first thing you should do is check the system out log for errors. So that's one of the easiest things to do. You don't have to change anything. You just have to look at the log file, and you can identify whether any errors occurred. So it might be, for example, that your database is not reachable, or it might be that an out-of-memory error occurred and the messaging engine is not running. So there are a multitude of errors that can lead to the event not actually getting routed correctly to CEI or to monitor. Now, if you want to troubleshoot basically that, the first thing you should do is enable the event recording functionality. So if you're doing that, like I said, the events are taken directly from the CEI server, and they're being put in the recorded events table. And you can also manage that nicely from the administrative console. You can show the events there. You can export them. You can even import events there. And it's basically the first way to see, is the event even received at CEI? Because if the event does not appear, it didn't actually get received at the CEI side. And then you have to look for the issue on the event emitter side. Event recording is available since version 6.2. And you have some instructions at the very bottom in the Info Center link, which basically instructs you how to set up event recording and how to export, import events from there. Basically, event recording is not only useful if you have missing events, but it allows exporting the events, for example, for the support to check some situations. So if we want to recreate a scenario, it might be good if you send us your monitor model and you have recorded some events so we can actually reproduce the whole scenario on our side. So event recording is really something you should be familiar with. Okay, let's move to slide number 7. So what else can you do? Basically, the first thing to check is also whether the event group actually exists on the CEI side. So when you're deploying your monitor model and the lifecycle steps are running, it will create this event group. So if you're not receiving events, you can easily check whether that event group already exists, because if it doesn't, then CEI won't know how to route the events. Also, this event group contains an event selector string, which is basically a filter determining which events to route. You can check that event selector string to be correct because it will contain some XPath function, and you can see whether it should match your event. That was basically true up to version 7.0. Starting with 7.5, it's a lot more complex, and the event selector won't be easy to check for you anymore. Another good thing to check is to stop the monitor model. Now, if you're doing that, you can still see all your instances in business space, but the monitor model will not consume any events anymore from the incoming events table or from the monitor model queue. And what you can do now is basically still emit events and check whether those events arrived at the incoming events table or this WBM underscore queue. If the events are not arriving there, then you might have an issue with your event selector string or with the CEI itself. And another place to check, of course, is the failed events and the unrecoverable events queue. So we'll now go to slide 8 to look at some other common causes of issues. If you have checked the system out log, one of the common events, one of the common error messages you might encounter if you're missing events is this message saying an event was received out of order. So this error message gives you quite some good information. It tells you which monitor model is affected, which model version is affected, and it also tells you which root instance ID is being used. So that's basically your key for your monitor model. So you now know which instance is actually affected here. It also shows you what the current event sequence index was for the event and what the expected sequence index should have been at least. So let's move to slide number 9 to give that some more meaning. Basically, if an event is received out of order, it is put on the failed event queue. You can manage it from there. But what also happens is that the instance is halted. So the instance for this monitor model with this event ID is actually getting stopped, and no further events for this instance are getting processed until you rectify that error. This only occurs if the processing strategy is set to scalable, but that's the recommended way anyway. If you're running in 602 emulation mode, it might be that your whole monitor model is actually getting stopped, not just the instance. So running in scalable mode is always the recommended way. So this events out of order error message we have seen on the previous slide only occurs if event reordering is enabled at all. So I've depicted that with a small screen capture from the administrative console on the right side. So in the runtime configuration of your monitor model version, you will actually be able to check whether event reordering is enabled. And it can and will only be enabled if all of your events that are defined in the monitor model have an event sequence path defined. So let's move to slide number 10. Basically, the event sequence index defines the order in which events should be processed. Now, of course, that needs to be set correctly in the events. What monitor will do is basically when an event is received, it will check that index, and if it has received more than just one event, it will reorder the events belonging to one instance based on this event sequence index. And then it will process the events in that order. That's useful if you're running a clustered event emitter where for some conditions an event that should be processed later is actually arriving on the CEI earlier. And the late arrival standoff delay, which you have seen on the previous slide, actually helps to reorder these events in batches, because if monitor is receiving 5 events, it will wait for 10 seconds, that's the default value, whether any further events are getting received for this instance, and only then it will reorder the events and process them correctly. Now, this event sequence index is actually being remembered for each monitor instance, and this highest event sequence index is then saved for 5 minutes. So if after 5 minutes you're receiving another event for this instance, the event sequence index will not be checked, or rather it will actually set the new highest event sequence index for the system. So let's move to slide 11, which shows us another warning message we can see in the system out log if we're having issues. Basically, that's one of the more common issues as well. So it says that no instances were found for this event. This happens if monitor receives an event and it doesn't find an actual instance for that. So this is the warning message, and if we are moving to slide 12, we will see an error message, which basically depicts the same error, but with a slightly different spin. And why that is, we will explain on slide 13. So the exact error message you're seeing depends on a runtime setting in your monitor model version. And that's the one I've marked red in the screen capture. So basically you can define whether you want your event processing to stop if such an error occurs. So if no instance is found for an event and you have selected this check mark, then the event will be put on the failed event queue and the instance will be halted. So again, if further events arrive for this instance ID, so basically for your key in the monitor model, they will not get processed. They will also be put on the failed event queue, and you can then resume processing from there, and you can fix the error that was encountered. If you have not selected this checkbox, then you will see the warning message from slide 11, but basically processing will continue, and the event will just be discarded. So, on slide 14, I will show you what also defines what occurs in such a situation, and that's basically how you have defined your inbound event in the monitor model editor. So, you have this correlation expression, which defines how to correlate the event to the correct instance. And there you have that setting that says, if no instances are found, what should happen? And if you have selected treat as error, then the event will trigger this either warning or error message, depending on your runtime setting. If you have set this drop-down to ignore, then if no instance is found, the event will just get discarded. So, what is the real root cause why this might happen? We'll discuss this on slide 15. Basically, there are only two possible root causes. One being that the instance has not yet started, and the other being that the instance has already been stopped. So, monitor says that it hasn't found an instance, which means it hasn't found an instance that is still active. So, it might be that your instance has not yet started because this event should have updated the instance, but it was received out of order. So it was received a lot earlier than the event that should have created the instance. Or it might be that the event that should have started the instance was for some reason missing. Maybe it didn't pass the event selector string at all. Another possibility is that the instance had been open already, but it was stopped. That might also be if the event was received out of order. So your update event that is throwing the issue was actually received after an event that has closed the instance already. Or it might be that your monitor model is incorrectly defined because it will close the instance too early while still some events are pending. So let's move to slide 16 for the next issue that you might find in a log file. And again, we have two possible messages for this condition. One being this warning message saying that no parent instance was found, and the other, on slide 17, being an error message for basically the same condition. As you might have guessed, when we're moving to slide 17, you will see a runtime configuration that basically defines which message you are seeing. So let's move to slide 18. Yeah, so this is the runtime condition again. So basically the error occurs if you're receiving an event that should create a child instance for a monitor instance, but the parent instance was not found. If you have set this stop event processing condition, then you will get the error message and you will see the event being put on the failed event queue and the parent instance will be halted as well as the child instance. So if you have not checked this setting, the event will again get discarded and you will only see the warning message in the log. Now, what is the root cause of this? Let's move to slide 19. And the slide may look familiar because, again, the cause may be that the parent instance was not yet started or that it has already been stopped. And again, we see it might have not yet been started because this event that should create a child instance was received out of order, or the start event for the parent instance was actually missing. And if the parent instance was already stopped, it might be because this event was, again, received out of order, or your monitor model has some issues and was incorrectly defined. So all of this basically manages what might cause an event to not be processed by monitor, and what might cause an instance to not show up, and what might cause a metric to not get updated. Another very common problem I've seen, but that is different from these, we'll discuss on our next slide, slide 20, and that's this warning message. This warning message tells you that you have some recurring wait time triggers that took a long time to evaluate. So if I had been holding this talk at a conference, I'd now ask you to raise your hands if you had seen this error message already on your system, because it's quite common. I've seen it quite a lot. Now, what is the cause of this? And we'll move to slide 21 to discuss this. Basically, this issue is caused by performance problems, but it is likely to be also the cause of your performance problem. Basically, a recurring wait time trigger is a trigger that you have defined to be repeatable and that is recurring quite often. So at the bottom you see the screen capture from the monitor model editor on the left side, which shows a recurring wait time trigger, which should be triggered every minute. So basically every minute monitor will check this trigger condition and it will execute the trigger. Now if you have a lot of instances open, it will do that for every single open instance every minute. And if the condition is quite complex and if you're updating a lot of metrics with the trigger, this might cause a performance problem on your side. So a lot of customers are using that and the default is set to 1 minute. And this causes this issue. So you might want to reconsider your usage of the wait time triggers at all. If you are actually depending on the wait time triggers, you might want to consider whether the wait time duration is really needed to be that low. So up to version 7.0, you could increase the recurring wait time checking interval during runtime. So I've given you a screen capture on the right side for that. That was taken with version 7.0. And you basically have the setting at the very bottom saying the recurring wait time checking interval in minutes is set to 1 minute. That's unfortunately the default. And it will most likely create performance problems if you have a lot of instances and if your triggers are also set to being executed every minute. So if you're seeing the message from the slide before, you might consider increasing the wait time checking interval here. Starting with version 7.5, you cannot configure that anymore, but it will default to 1 minute. But there have been a lot of performance improvements with 7.5, so you will most likely not see that error message at all. Okay, to summarize everything, we'll move to the next slide, slide 22. What I wanted to give you today was basically an introduction to the event flow, because understanding that event flow is absolutely necessary. And another thing that I really want to give you is say, well, if you're doing a lot of testing, you can avoid a lot of issues later. Try to emit events in an incorrect order. Try to emit events a lot in your test environment, so you will see whether you might hit any conditions because of an incorrect logic in your monitor model. Also, make sure you know how to use event recording. And make also sure that you basically use the event reordering, because you can avoid a lot of issues if you're letting monitor reorder your events. If it is set up correctly, it will not cause any issues. And the last lesson learned is don't overuse the recurring wait time triggers, because those can be a real performance hog on your system. With that being said, I'll turn the conference back to Joseph.
Thank you, Benjamin, for a great presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Then, Mark, your line is open.
Yeah, I have a question on page 5 of the slides on the recorded events. Is there an overhead? What's the overhead on enabling that? And I'm also interested in, like, once that's turned on, where do you actually get to see the recorded events? So how do you find them? And then is there any overhead by turning that on?
Okay. The overhead is actually quite minimal. So basically, if you have defined a lot of monitor models, each monitor model will strip off some CPU time from the CEI to route the events. And basically, the recorded events is just another event group in the CEI. So it's just one more event group that will route the events to the database. So that's basically the same technique that is happening if you're moving model-related events to the incoming events table. So once the events are stored in the recorded events table, you can view them on the administrative console under the recorded events section. So you will be able to see the list of all of those events. And if you click an event, you can actually view the content. And you can also extract the actual XML, and you can download it. And then you can, maybe if you want to edit it, you can edit it, and you can import it again and resend it. So you also have the possibility to resubmit those recorded events. So if you're, for example, doing some testing and you want to use some live data, you can record events on your production system. You can export them. You can import them in your test environment, and then you can replay those events there. So that's all possible via the administrative console. And basically, you can also access the recorded events table directly, but that would only be needed if you want to do a lot of processing on those events. About the overhead, one more remark is that depending on your event load, it might not be recommended to just have it enabled at all times, because all those events will get dumped to the database and they will be stored there. If you don't have a need for it, it will just clog your database at some point.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Thiru Venkat. Your line is open.
We have a lot of events actually not coming to the monitor at all for the final or ending events, the terminate events. So what happens is that monitor says that process is still running, but it completes in BPC. So we have a hard time in reconciling monitor. So do you have any shortcuts or, you know, any tips to circumvent this issue?
So do I understand correctly, you're having processes that are already finished, but the instances on the monitor side are still running?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Well, the first thing to check is what trigger is there to terminate the monitor instance, and what event is this trigger waiting for? Because that's basically the event that monitor is missing in this payoff part. And then you should basically enable the event recording, and then you can check whether this event was actually received at all. So if you have a way to steer your processes in a way that you can, for example, just stop one process and not have it disturbed by a lot of other processes, then you can limit the amount of events that are getting emitted at that time. And you can just enable the events record, then stop the process so that the event should be emitted, and then you can actually disable event recording again, so you will have only a limited amount of events recorded, and then you can skim through those and check whether this event is actually getting received. And what I would do in this case is, It's hard to say whether it's a logic problem that maybe the trigger is not firing correctly or if it's just that the event is not getting processed. But you might want to check the failed events queue as well. So if the event was maybe received out of order or if the instance was stopped, then this stop event will not actually stop the instance because the instance is halted and it will not process any further events. So you could check from the failed events queue whether this instance is already in this halted state, and you can then resume processing and allow it to actually process this event, which should then terminate the monitor instance.
Yeah, if we do a short snap of, like, you know, some records event and recording the events and it goes through, fine. But, you know, we have, for example, 1,000 events going through or 1,000 instances. So only, like, you know, 10% of them not getting the final terminate event. So we couldn't simulate that scenario every time because it happens only 10% of the time and we are not sure which instance is going to not get the final event.
Okay. I think you might be able to view from, at least from business space, all those instances that are not yet terminated. And then you can check the instance ID, basically your key that you have defined in the monitor model. And from that, you can correlate to the processes. And then you can check what exact IDs are getting affected. And what I would do is just enable event recording for some time and then pick out one of those instances that were basically not terminated. Then you can do an export of all your recorded events. And then you can do a grep search over the file and grep all the events that are related to this instance. And then you can check whether this event, the stop event, was received at all and whether it might have any issues in it. So it sounds quite complex, and it's quite complex to debug. So if this issue really reoccurs a lot of times, then I would ask you to open a PMR on this so we can analyze this in detail.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's right now what we have is actually we have, like I said, it's 10% of the time, and, you know, it happens, and, you know, we send a ticket to our admin, and, you know, they did some, like, they tweak in the monitor table. So is there any shortcut to remove this from permanently from a monitor database?
You mean to stop the instance manually?
Yeah.
I know that there is no easy way up to version 7. I'm not quite sure whether we have a way in version 7.5 yet, but I can check that. I can see whether we have some shortcut on this, and I could send you that via email. So if you just drop me a mail after the session, I can reply to that. All right, thanks.
And also, we've gone through, like, it's a nice presentation. How do we improve the performance? So we are looking at, like, a lot of performance issues currently in our production system. So do you have any key tips that you want to share with us?
Yeah, performance is quite a complex issue, but what should be checked first is, are you using the table-based event delivery? So that's one of the main performance improvements in monitor. Since starting with version 6.2, we have that available. And they have also gone a lot of performance improvements for the event processing into the newest version, 7.5, because now you can actually process a lot more events in parallel. So up to version 7, events were actually processed in sequence and then distributed to the various instances. But starting with 7.5, the instances are processed in parallel. So there's a lot of scalability built into 7.5. So if you're adding another cluster member in 7.5, you can actually get a lot better performance. Other than that, you would need to check what exactly is the root cause of your performance problem, whether it's the database or maybe it's the hard disk or is just memory used up. Maybe you just have to allow it more room for the heap. So performance tuning is quite complex with monitor, actually.
Yeah, it's you're right. It kind of, now some instances, it affects the WPS itself, the whole. It brings down the other end. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if that is the case, so if you're having that bad performance issues, I would also ask you to open a PMR on that so we can investigate.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And I am not showing any questions in the web conference either. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.